Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. Our co-host, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northern International University, is unable to be with us for this series of broadcasts. And in his place, the Lord has sent to us three men who have spent their lives, or are spending their lives, taking the gospel to where the gospel isn't. And with me today is Dr. Bob Shelton. And Bob, you and Nancy spent your life taking the gospel all around the world, but in the early days spent a good bit of it taking the gospel to people in the Far East.
Yes, yeah. It's wonderful years. We thank God for every precious opportunity.
And by the Lord's grace, saw a lot of fruit out of that.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Keith, we have been involved for a number of broadcasts. Fascinating discussion we've been having about the people and the religion that God has called you to take the gospel to. And, of course, we're talking there about the Mormon Church. And you and Donna and your family are pastoring a church out there in Nephi, Utah. And certainly making some inroads for the Lord and for the gospel.
It's been a wonderful ride. The Lord has just been so good and each and every step of the way. And I believe he's being glorified despite me and what menial things we do. But God is going to and is doing great things out there. And we thank the Lord for that.
Well, and really, as we've been talking, there's been a natural progression that we didn't plan. It just happened the way the broadcasts unfolded. We started with people whose religion did not involve the God of the Bible with
right.
you, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved over to you, Keith, and talked a lot about people whose religion seemed to involve the God of the Bible, and especially Jesus, but added works to that. Bob, in your case, we were talking about people who are trying to get to heaven, whatever their version of heaven was, by works. And now we come to a group of people who are very sincere and very moral and very upright and very conservative who are trying to get to heaven. And it looks like they have the God of the Bible and works to that. But when we really got into the discussion, we found out that the Jesus that they are talking about is different in significant ways from the Jesus that the Bible presents. And that brings us in over to you, Randy, where you're reaching a group of people who is certainly convinced of the right God, and they believe the right things about his son, but they continue to believe that in order to get to heaven, you also have to add works.
Correct. We're serving in the northern part of Spain, among the Basque people there, and predominantly a Catholic country. In fact, if you come up to anybody on the street and engage them in a conversation about God or about religion, and ask them what religion they are of, they will invariably reply, "I'm Catholic." It's really more than just a religion. It's their whole heritage. It's their family. It's their culture, systems of politics. It's really the fiber of their culture.
Yeah, we were talking prior to the broadcast a little bit about that, and I thought it was a very interesting point, and that is that, you know, when we describe ourselves as Americans, we typically don't attach a faith component to that identity. But when you identify yourself, for example, as a Jew, unless you're a Zionist or a secular Jew, the very fact that you are a Jew, born a Jew of the line of Abraham, would indicate that there are faith components that you may or may not fully understand, but they're just part of who you are because you're a Jew. You were born this way. Mm-hmm. And that's certainly true in many parts of the world, for example, Spain being one of them, where to be a Spaniard is, in fact, to be Catholic because that's just who Spaniards are. There's a faith and cultural component that's tied into the national identity of a person that might not be the same for somebody born in the United States of America. Faith and national identity go together in many of these parts of the world.
It really is true, Pastor, because I'm thinking of a man in the Basque region of Spain who almost 10 years ago now trusted Christ as his personal Savior through some remarkable circumstances and set aside, you know, his Catholic teaching, his Catholic Bible, and really is walking with the Lord. But over those 10 years, because of the influence of his family and the heritage that he has, is very cautious about where he talks about God, how faithful he is to the Lord, and because he really is fearful that he'll lose his family, his income, and everything about his family. So it really is a stronger kind of entrenching, if I can use that word, in their lifestyle.
So you're saying if he embraces his faith, then he loses what he considers the family and nationality aspect of who he is.
Exactly.
It's considered a betrayal, in other words.
Right. And praise the Lord, he is growing and he is becoming more and more open. But during, for example, like the Inquisition, everybody was either forced to convert to Catholicism or leave the country or burn at the stake. And so given those, a lot of people just converted to Catholicism to maintain their family and continue to live in Spain. Well, today that threat's not there, but that ingrained in their mind is really, I'm Catholic, I'm Spanish, I'm Catholic.
Yeah, to say, when did you become a Christian is almost a question nobody would even think about asking, mm-hmm. because, well, I became a Christian when I became a Spaniard, mm-hmm. and I became a Spaniard when I was born.
Right.
Which I think brings us to an important question, Randy. In Spain today, when you think of the churches there and the active attendance of those who had professed to be Catholics, do you have any idea what percentage of those who would make that profession are actually active in the cathedrals of the country?
Well, just based on, 6 years of experience, all of the older people would invariably say, oh, I'm Catholic, and for the most part go along with teachings of the Catholic Church. And on a Friday night or a Saturday in a Mass, you may see in a cathedral 50 to 75 people there taking Mass. The generation below them, my generation, would really claim to be Catholic in name, but never really go to Mass, really more materialistic and more modern in their thinking, pursuing money and wealth. And really, religion is something they tried in the past, and that was something for their parents, but for them, it's really not working.
They're part of the new secularism, in other
correct.
Words.
Well, that brings up an interesting question for me, then, because we are dealing with a works-based system, mm-hmm. like we've been talking about in these broadcasts. But here now you have a younger generation that, yeah, I'm Catholic, but they haven't embraced the tenets of the Catholic Church. Do they still see salvation as a works type of thing, or are they more open to say, no, you don't have to work for it if that's not part of it?
Tragically, the youngest generation, the teenagers and those around that age, would claim to be atheistic. In fact, the people we've witnessed to would say, our parents are religious, and they occasionally go to church, but we just don't believe there's a God. We don't see him in our society, and we don't see the effects of it. We see what goes on, from the sermons and the messages from the priest, but we see how he lives in our towns, and they're empty. They're very empty. They realize that they can't work their way there. So they're very empty in their heart and in their soul, seeking for something.
If you were to ask those people then, what religious system have they followed? Would they claim to be Catholics?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because it's their heritage.
We have the same thing in evangelical churches. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have people that show up at Christmas and Easter. We call them Christers. And they were baptized when they were a kid, and so therefore were Christians. But do you practice your Christianity? Well, for them, practicing their Christianity means going to church. But in their minds, they have embraced the truth about God, but mm-hmm. they're just not really at the current moment practicing it the way they know they should. And pulling them out of that, I think, is a very, the approach to pulling them out. And I think, Keith, you really nailed it. And Bob, you said the same thing in different ways in your discussion about taking the gospel. You just have to tell them what the gospel is, mm-hmm. Because we have a lot of Catholic people in our community. And we're in the Midwest, and we actually have a lot of practicing Catholics in our area here. You go by on Saturday night and on Sunday morning, and their parking lots are full. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get really zealous about this, and you want to go after Mary, and you want to go after the Pope, and you want to go after all of these things. And I don't know that that's really the point of entry mm-hmm. into the heart of a person who's embraced that. Mm-hmm. I think the point of entry that might be more profitable is what Jesus did with Nicodemus. Mm-hmm. And that is to say, well, tell me about the new birth. Mm-hmm. And when you start talking about a new birth, that really is foreign to somebody who has embraced what you said a minute ago, Randy, about being a Christian their entire life. Well, what are you talking about, a new birth? I was born a Christian, mm-hmm. and I was baptized right. and confirmed. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden you're saying, wait a minute, the Bible does mm-hmm. talk about a new birth, and that's how a person becomes a Christian. Mm-hmm. And that opens up a whole avenue of discussion that may be fresh for a person who's embraced the whole national cultural heritage idea of what it means to be a Christian.
That's interesting, because I think that void that you were talking about of the younger generation over there, that they've gotten to the point where they don't even think there is a God. Hmm. But they're basing that on what they're seeing horizontally, and you have that wonderful opportunity to get them to look vertically.
Right. In fact, the fact that they do believe in the Bible and they do believe that there's a God, for the most part, does give a good open door to share the gospel with them and find out what they do believe about the gospel and taking them to that next step. And then, of course, the Lord uses various things like trials and tragedies and financial crisis to help awaken them up about the need in their soul. And those are definitely opportunities to
Are you seeing folks come to Christ in Spain, Randy, through your
ministry?
Yes,
we are. We have seen quite a few. I had the number. I couldn't tell you. But just 2 weeks ago, another young man who has been visiting our church there for several weeks and listening to the truth week after week.
Amen.
Has come to the point where he realizes he needs Christ and he needs the forgiveness of Christ and has trusted
Amen.
Christ as his Savior alone.
And, you know, as we've been kind of talking over these broadcasts, in every place, in Spain, in Utah, and in all of the places, Brother Bob, you were at for all those years, when the gospel gets there, there's always people who respond.
Yes.
God has people in every place that he desires to save. And when the gospel gets there, the Holy Spirit takes that word, opens the eyes of the heart, and those folks respond and become Christians. And they become light bearers all around them. And sometimes they're even more effective than we are. We were the initial light bearer to reach the main light bearer. And you probably, I've read your book, brother, you've got stories in there of people that came to Christ that themselves, your interpreter who preached at one time when you said, I don't need you anymore, Brother Bob, that interpreter went on to preach probably more effectively than you could have ever done.
Oh, during our furlough, that fellow led over 500 people to Christ. He thought he was going to be my interpreter for life. And pastor's talking about an experience where we were having meetings in northern Okinawa. And I said to him one day, I said, I think it's time for you to start preaching by yourself. He said, oh, no, I'm just going to be your interpreter. And I said, I think you ought to start preaching. He said, well, when? I said, I think tonight. And he said, oh, I don't think I can do that. I said, well, why don't you try? Yeah. We were in northern Okinawa, and I think everybody in the village was there. And he was standing up on the tailgate of our carryall. We had a little microphone and public address system. And I was way in the back of this big crowd, kind of hiding behind a tree. And I heard Bill open the Word of God. And the message he brought, man, I forget. I think I tell in the book. It was like 19 people came to Christ that night or something. Later in the hostel where we were staying, I said, Bill, God's hand was on you tonight. He said, you know, I sense that.
What a great story, Brother Bob, to end our broadcast on. And we are going to have to end our broadcast and with the broadcast our series entitled Going Where the Gospel Isn't. You can download this broadcast or all of the broadcasts in the series at our website, www.thewordforlife.org. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.